Can you hear me all right? I beg a continued interest in your prayers for the time I'm to be before you. This evening, I would like to talk about the, and I pray the Lord will bless about the church, the purpose of the church, and how you get in, and you know, to who chooses the members of the church. I think the purpose of the church has always been the same. You know, I want to go to, it is my intent to speak upon the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, but I want to just preface my remarks by this: ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God, no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. That's God speaking unto the you know, I need to change this image. That's God speaking on the children of Israel through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, proclaiming exactly what their purpose was. That was to be a witness unto him. Brethren, that is the purpose of the church right now. You know, about 30 years ago, we began to look at that old building there in Santa Paula and said, you know, this is, we need to do something about this. So we tore that old building down, and the Lord blessed us. We were able to build a great big, nice building. There's so much happened there that we knew the Lord was in it. I mean, I'll never forget the day that some men drove up and they said, "What are you doing here?" And they said, "We're putting in the foundation for a church." And they said, "Well, that's what we do for a living. Let us do it." And we said, "Well, what do you want us to do?" And they said, "Well, y'all just stand over there and we'll take care of it. Where's your plans?" And so how many times that happened? But you know what? That big, beautiful building, you know, that's not the church. That's not the church. You know, and there's other things that we're loose with. You know, sometimes I've said, you know, let's go down to Bellflower to Brother Joe Holder's church. You know, that's loose too. It's not his church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want to go to the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew and look at some interaction that the Lord Jesus Christ had and with a dear saint, a woman. Now, let me read. It says this. It says, "Then Jesus went out thence." Now he was in the land of Gennesaret, and some scribes and Pharisees had come from Jerusalem and begin to question him about his lax supervision on his disciples, that he actually let them eat a meal without washing their hands. And Jesus spoke to them. Jesus spoke to them, and he told them about their commandments of men and how they circumvented the very law of God by their commandments. But he told them this parable. He said, and you know, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him. You know, his disciples, they didn't understand that. And they were quite taken with the Pharisees, because they said unto Jesus, "You offended them. You offended them." You know, and Jesus left there. Jesus just went. It says he departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. I've thought about, Jesus leaving the land of Gennesaret, going to Tyre and Sidon. What's happening there? I thought this, and brethren, this is just me, it says evil communications corrupt good manners. And he's taken his disciples away from the influence of the Pharisees that they were taken with. And something's going to happen here. There's something going to happen here that I want to look at. Then Jesus went this and departed onto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, Mark says she was a Greek. And she was a Syrophoenician by nation. She wasn't a, she couldn't look in her genealogy. And she couldn't find Jacob or Isaac or Abraham. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy upon me. The 51st division of the Psalms. And David says, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness. When the publican went to the temple to pray, he said, have mercy upon me, the sinner. Brethren, that's what I proclaim before the throne of God if I'm, if what comes forth from my lips is according to my heart, that I can only proclaim that I beg mercy from the throne of God. There was nothing about her that she could boast of. She wanted mercy. I said that the word of God, the 43rd division of the book of Isaiah, God speaks through the mouth of Isaiah. And he says, you're witnesses. What was there about Israel? What was special about Israel that God looked at this people? And he said, you're my witnesses. You know why Israel was chosen? Because they were the least. Now, they were the least. Of all the peoples, they were the least. Brethren, if we've got something within us to boast about, the natural man will boast. But we've got a God who we can proclaim has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. There's nothing in there about me, about any. I need mercy. I need mercy before the throne of God. She's come to the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows some things now. She's got some knowledge. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, have mercy upon me, O Lord. If you go to your dictionary and 1A1 definition of the word Lord is older. She understood something. She understood something now. There's a lot of 1A1 definition is the owner. She understood that she had been bought by a price, that she was his. That what he was due was as done. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. You know, the blind man at the streets of Jericho, we, as Jesus left that city, he said, have mercy upon me, O thou son of David. You know, the disciples, they tried to discourage him, but he cried even louder. He knew something. He had some knowledge now. O thou son of David. You know, when Jesus was at the well, there outside the city of Sychar, and that Samaritan woman came out, and they had that interaction between each other, and she understood that it was the time of the Christ. You know what Jesus, he said, that he who was speaking to her was the Christ. He had identified himself to her. A Samaritan woman at the city of Sychar. This is a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician. Jesus has left the land of Israel. You know, just recently I looked, you know how far it is from Dan to Beersheba? It's 140 miles. You know how far it is from the River Jordan to the sea? It's 40 miles. Brother, in order to get to the borders of Tyre and Sidon from the land of Gennesaret, that's a walk of 35, 40 miles. You know, I'm not one that believes the Lord Jesus Christ just wandered around. I believe he's come here to meet this woman, have interaction with her, and teach his disciples something. You know, in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, there's a Well, I'm sorry, that's Luke. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, it says Pharisees are here again. They've asked him all manner of questions, and he asked them one. And after Jesus asked them this question, there's no other questions to, that's it for the questions, they end. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. You know what? He continued on, but this title, this name, the Son of David, is the expected Christ, the Son of God. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried on him, saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. I want to say something about that. She said, "Have mercy on me." But there's nothing wrong with her. It's her daughter. When we go to the Lord in prayer, when the saints, when they beg an interest in our prayers, how is it we approach the throne of God? Is it that we might beg the Lord to have mercy upon us because our brethren are suffering? Is when Jesus went into the garden where the tomb of Lazarus was, he looked at the suffering Jews, how they were weeping, and Jesus wept with them. When he went to Decapolis, and the people stayed with him and listened to him preach and heal for 3 days, he said, "I will have compassion on the multitude," to his disciples. He wasn't asking for input or counsel. He said, "I will have compassion. I will share their needs." And brethren, he fed that multitude. He fed that multitude, that 4,000 there upon the hills of Decapolis. Is that how we go to prayer? When our brethren are suffering, do we feel that need that the Lord might bless us by healing our brethren? You know, it says, "O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." You know what the Pharisees said about the Lord Jesus Christ casting out devils? Well, they couldn't deny it. They could not deny it. But they said he does it because he's in league with the prince of the devil, Beelzebub. This was Jesus. He was born the city of David, Bethlehem. He was born, brethren, of the tribe of Judah. They looked upon him and they said, no, he didn't meet their expectations. He didn't meet their expectations now, and they rejected him. You know what? It's because they were so much in their own eyes that they didn't have a vision to see him. "O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." You know, his disciples, they were quick to want to send people away. You know, mothers and fathers, they brought their little children to Jesus. Oh, and they rebuked him. They said, don't bring your children. What did Jesus say? He rebuked his disciples. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." You know, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus is not talking to this woman. He's responding to his disciples. But he answered and said, "I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Brethren, you know what? Just by that little word, I'll tell you something. He was sent. Now, if my wife wants to send me to the store, it's because I am here and I went to the store. Jesus didn't come into being, but he was sent. He is the eternal Son of God. He was sent now. And he learned he obedience. Learned he obedience. He came in the person of the Son to keep the covenant of God, to redeem them. For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here and over here, I want to go to the 10th chapter, if I can get to it. Jesus speaking to his disciples says this: "Other sheep I have." This is the 10th chapter. This is, "I am the good shepherd." But he says, "Other sheep I have, which are I'm not of this fold." Brethren, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she. You see, now that interaction was between Jesus and his disciples. Then came she and worshiped him. She worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Sometimes I say so much in a prayer when really what I need to say is, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And now he's going to speak a parable to them. I want you to remember now that when Jesus spoke the parable to his disciples, they didn't understand. But Jesus is going to speak a parable to her. But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." No, there's a lot of controversy about what Jesus just said here. And there shouldn't be. There shouldn't be at all. I want you, if you go to the next chapter, well, just this a few more verses down, you're going to see that that the crumbs that fall from the master's table are a feast. He says, "It's not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs." That's exactly the way that the Jewish people looked upon those who were not Jews, not the sons of Abraham. And the reason being is just what Jesus has just talked about. They had all manner of unclean and clean things, and a dog will eat anything. And so they took that appellation and labeled those who didn't know. I've got it. "It's not meet to take the children's meat bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord." She understood his parable. "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." He understood that she had a place, and that he was her master. He was her master. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She didn't bring her daughter with her. There's one other time. Well, there's more than one. There's 35 miracles listed in the Gospels. But I'm sure, and John says that if all the things Jesus had done had been written in books, the world couldn't contain them. You go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, and you'll discover a centurion, a Roman centurion in Capernaum that has a servant he dearly loves, and he's sick. And first he sends the masters of the synagogue, and then his friends, and then he himself comes. He says, "I'm not worthy that you should enter my house." He said, "But just say the word." He said, "I'm a man of authority. I understand." He said, "Just say the word." And Jesus said the word, his servant was healed. Then when Jesus heard this, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Later Jesus said, he takes his disciples and goes to Caesarea Philippi. He says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they mentioned all these prophets. Some people are still thinking that that he was just one of the prophets. But he says, "Whom do ye say that I am?" He says, "Thou art the Christ." Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven." He says this, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So it's his church. And he chooses all those, his people, all those, each and every last one of them. I've said this in the past, and boy, I went way over my time. Please forgive me for that, but I want you to understand, if they have chairs in heaven, there won't be an empty chair. If they have chairs in heaven, there won't be too many. Each and every one of the children of grace are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We're justified by the blood of Christ. There's no forgiven sinners in heaven. Justification, being justified means being declared innocent, not guilty, all by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, our Redeemer. I hope you'll consider that this evening. Brother James.